Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're new here, my name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're going to finish the book of Daniel this morning. And so, I think, like, in some ways, I'm sort of relieved too, because, like, book of Daniel is not the easiest book in the world to teach. I love digging into it, but in some ways, it's going to be a nice break. And then every summer, I take a preaching break, and we give the opportunity for other guys to be able to preach. And so we'll be starting a summer series in the Psalms in 2 weeks. Randy's going to kind of do a wrap up thing for Daniel, not in Daniel, for us next week. But I'll let him talk about that. As we've been going through the book of Daniel, you know, we've seen a lot of things together as a church family. And if you're just joining us, this can be a review for you. You know, we've seen, like, in chapter 1, we saw there's 4 young men that were taken captive into Babylon, and they took steps to refuse to let their hearts be turned away from the Lord by the bounty and blessings of Babylon, like all of the richness of this great kingdom. They took steps so that they would stay faithful to the Lord. You know, in chapter 3, we saw 3 of those guys, instead of, like, worshiping the gods of Babylon, choose to get thrown into the fiery furnace instead. And they remain faithful to the Lord and to his word to not worship any false gods. In chapter 6, we saw Daniel towards the end of his life. He's still alive in the book, but he's in his 80s in chapter 6. And we saw him choose to be fed to the lions rather than to abandon his hope in the Lord. You know, and so over and over and over again, what we saw is that God is able to sustain his people kind of in whatever circumstances they find themselves in. You know, we also saw the fall of Babylon, the great city, in one day, and the takeover of the Persians just exactly like God had predicted it to happen. And interwoven through all those stories, we also saw these visions and these dreams and some stuff that was really hard to understand that talked about, like, how God is absolutely sovereign over all of the affairs of the nations, and that he appoints kings and he removes kings, he causes nations to rise and he causes nations to fall, and that he's the one that's in charge of all things, and he is able to carry his people through any circumstance they find themselves in. You know, I often wonder, you know, as I read, like, in the New Testament, you read 2 Timothy, which chronicles the end of Paul's life. I wonder if as Paul was nearing the end of his own life, if he had, like, the book of Daniel in mind, because this is what he says right towards the end of the letter. I think there's only, like, 4 verses after this. So this is one of the last things that we have recorded from the Apostle Paul. And he says this, but the Lord stood with me, talking about how everybody abandoned him, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. And then he goes on and he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was sitting in a Roman prison cell under the tyranny of another world power, and he was about to be executed and beheaded by the edge of the sword, and yet he's able to state with confidence that the Lord will rescue him out of every evil deed and bring him safely into his kingdom. You know, what we find out is that, you know, these people of God, like, they didn't hope for rescue of their temporal circumstances just so that they can enjoy the kingdom of this world better. But their ultimate hope was that they wanted to be rescued from this world so that they could enter into the kingdom of God and enjoy everything that God has for us and for his people. And that's the basic message to Daniel at the end of this book, is that this angel that's still talking to Daniel is going to be telling him, giving him a final exhortation as the book draws to an end. And it's this idea that God is able to bring his people safely home, and we need to persevere to the end. It's going to break out in 2 parts. We've got 2 main points this morning, and there's 2 questions. Oops, I forgot a question mark on that second one. There's 2 questions that are asked in our text. The first question is, how long will it be? And then the second one is, what will be the outcome? You know, and I think as we look at, like, there's been a lot of things that still speak about future events that are happening in this world, and I think we often have, like, those questions, like, when is this all going to happen? How is it all going to play out? What's going to be the outcome? And the angel actually answers those questions for us as this book comes to a close. So please stand with me. I'm going to read chapter 12, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get into the text together. This is God's word for his church. I'm going to start at verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river as he raised his right hand and his left towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged and purified and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you that you help us to speak and understand who you are and how you reveal yourself in your word by the power of your spirit. And so, Father, I just ask, I feel particularly weak this morning, so I just ask that you would strengthen me to be able to communicate your word to your people, that you would open our hearts to hear, and that you would receive much glory, not because there's any insight or wisdom or strength in ourselves, but because you are the God who is in charge of all things, the Ancient of Days, as Dan said. So we just ask that you would act on our behalf this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we get into that first question, we're actually starting at verse 5 is where our text starts this morning. But it says here, it says Daniel's looking and he's having this conversation with an angel that we've looked at that for the last 2 weeks. And then he says, he looks up and there's two others standing with this person, this man dressed in linen who's hovering above the waters. I mean, it's possible that he was talking about upstream, but I think the imagery is that this man dressed in linen is hovering above the waters and there's two people on either bank like looking on. And these are, the man dressed in linen above the waters, I talked about that 2 weeks ago. There's some debate about who he is, but the other two people for sure are these angelic beings. And this man dressed in linen was described for us back in chapter 10, and I'll just read it for you so you can get a kind of a feel of what's going on here. And this is the description from Daniel 10, verses 5 and 6. "I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms were like the feet. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words was like a tumult." So there's this glorious and powerful and majestic being whose face is so radiant, like that Daniel picked the brightest thing he could find, lightning, to describe it. And he's standing there. And the reason why I started reading at chapter 12 is that there was this description in chapter 12, verse 1, of this time of distress that would come upon the people of God, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. Then it talks about the rescue of the people of God and the glorification of the people of God, that they're going to shine like the expanse of heaven. And so one of the angels asks this man dressed in linen and says, how long? How long are these things going to take place? How long is this distress upon the people of God, this final time, this climactic time of distress upon the people of God going to last? And we get this kind of cryptic answer of time, times, and half a time. His answer, though, is really important because Daniel takes some time to describe what happens there. The fact that two witnesses show up for this dialogue, and the law requires like two or three witnesses to testify to something. So, but the fact that these multiple angelic beings show up is like telling us like This is tested and verified. In the Old Testament, you'll often see a person like lift one hand towards heaven when they swear to something. But this angel, he explicitly says he lifts his left hand and his right hand towards heaven. He's doubling down on the truthfulness of his testimony. And it says, and he swears by him who, what does it say? Who lives forever. He swears by the eternal God, like, what I'm going to say is absolutely true in every way you could evaluate it. It's got the witnesses. I'm swearing to it, not just one hand, but both. And he talks about in this these wonders that they're talking about is this time of distress there in chapter 12, verse 1. This time of distress, or some translations read it as a time of anguish, and it's alluding back to a vision that Daniel had 17 years before in Daniel chapter 7. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 7 as it's talking about that distress and the one who causes it. It says this: he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. So what the angels are asking is, like, how long is this terrible time of tribulation that was talked about here as this time of distress in chapter 12, verse 1, in the text that we read in verse, where was it? At the end of verse 7, it says that they're going to shatter the strength of the holy people. Back in chapter 7, it says it'll be this time of distress. This has never occurred. Jesus refers to it as this great time of tribulation. So there's this time of like this future time of like hardship and distress and shattering of God's people. And back in Daniel 7, it said that they would be worn down. The imagery is that they're getting ground down like with abrasion. We talked about that when we were back in chapter 7. Such a horrifying thing that even the angels are like, man, how long is it going to take? And that answer of time, times, and half a time is a reference to 3.5 years. The book of Revelation just defines it for us as 42 months. It defines it for it as 1,260 days, which in the lunar calendar is 3.5 years. And here it uses the expression time, times, and half a time like it did in Daniel chapter 7. The point being, though, is that what the angels are asking is that, like, how long is this time going to be? And the answer really is it's 3.5 years. But the point being, it's a relatively short period of time. Like, the hardships of this world, their days are numbered. In fact, if you look down, I'm just skip down to verse 11. You know, it says this: and from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, which is what it's talking about, that kicks off this time of persecution, there will be 1,290 days. And we'll talk about what the 1,290 and what is it, 1,335 days refers to later on. But the point is this: the sufferings of this world, their days are numbered. Like, and they're relatively short. When suffering comes upon the people of God, as even this most intense suffering that's predicted, the days are numbered for the sufferings, and it won't go a day longer than God intends it to. He demonstrated that in the book of Daniel already, as with the rise and fall of the Babylonian Empire. But we should take great heart that the evils and sufferings and sorrows and struggles of this age won't last forever. And in fact, in light of like what God's doing for us, they don't last very long at all. In fact, Peter says this. We were studying in 1 Peter before this, and so if you've been with us if you've been part of the church when we were back there, this might sound familiar, but listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. Like, keep believing, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in this world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What Peter's telling the church, and apparently one of the strategies of the enemy, is to make us think that the sufferings of this age are something that's unusual. And Peter's like, no, know this. Know that your brothers and sisters around the Christ are around the world are facing the same kind of sufferings that you're facing. In fact, earlier in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, he said, don't even be surprised at this fiery ordeal that's come upon you. Because this is the normal position for the people of God, to suffer in a world that's opposed to like the God of the universe. But we're protected by the power of God through faith for this salvation that's ready to be revealed. It's just waiting there. The sufferings of this age are short. And at the end, that God himself will perfect, confirm, and strengthen, and establish us. So don't, you know, when those things come, and you know, I was planning on mentioning this later on, and you know, one of the occupational hazards of preaching is like that you have to preach what God says in the Bible, but what God says and what you always apply to your life perfectly is like there's a big gap between the two. I'm like, yeah, don't stress the sufferings of this age because they're short and what God has for us is something better. And then I'm like, oh, like the sufferings of this age. Anybody with me on that? But my job isn't to like tell you like about all my lameness. My job is to tell you like what God has for us. He himself will strengthen, what does it say? Will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Even in our weakness and even in our faltering. But the point of the matter is that the days of suffering are short and we should take heart because something so much greater awaits us. But it's funny, as we get into verse 8, it says this in verse 8, it says, as for me, I heard but could not understand. which I love this. Like Daniel's like 80, probably like in the upper 80s at this point in time. He's been walking with God his entire life. He's had these visions. In fact, at the beginning of the book, we're told that he's the only one that could understand visions and dreams and things like that. And as Daniel's seeing the unfolding of God's plan in the ages in this world, he's like, man, I just don't get it. You know, so he's got all these questions. The angels had questions like, how long will it be? His questions be like, how's it going to play out? What's going to be the outcome? And you know, and so if we get to the book of Daniel, end of the book of Daniel, like some of the visions we've seen have already been fulfilled, and those are pretty clear. Some of the visions we've seen are pretty clear about what the future awaits, like this time of suffering. But then some of it just raises more questions than it answers. And it's interesting because Daniel like acknowledges that. He's like, man, I just didn't understand after all of this. And so he asks another question, my Lord, verse 8, what will be the outcome of these events? And the angel like begins and ends his answer to Daniel with the same phrase. He says, and he said, go your way, Daniel. And then if you look back at verse 13, but as for you, go your way to the end. We'll come back to that, this idea of going your way. But he tells Daniel, like, one of the things, amidst all of the questions and uncertainties you have, Daniel, that's not your main point. That's not the main thing you need to walk away with. You need to walk away with going your way to the end. And then we see it, this answer then, and like I said, I'll come back. And the first thing the angel tells him in verse 9 is part of the reason why you don't understand. In verse 9, he says, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Like, Daniel, these things aren't even for you. You're going to write them down. You're going to record them. You're going to be handed down. And there will be a day when these things like will come into focus and into clarity. But you don't need to worry about that right now. These things are concealed until the end, and that the Lord doesn't always answer every question that we have. Second thing he says, verse 10, he says, many will be purged and purified and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. I like the way the ESV translates that better than what my translation says. The ESV says they will purify themselves, make themselves white, and be refined. What it's talking about there is that, Daniel, one of the things you need to understand about the hardships of the world is that they have a purpose behind them. And the hardships of this world cause us, if we have insight, if we're the wise, if we're those that trust in the Lord, cause us to purify ourselves, to make ourselves like white, to seek to walk in obedience to the Lord. It should, whenever these things rumble upon us and whenever the hardships of this life come upon us, it should stir us to greater devotion to Jesus. There's kind of two responses. You could continue to act wickedly, or you could respond to the God's intention behind the hardships that come your way and use those to purify and refine and be refined. You know, so I think one of the things that we need to embrace as we face the hardships of this world that come upon us as God's people is just God's purpose in making us more like Jesus. Peter said that at the beginning of 1 Peter. He opens the book with this in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What he's saying is like this, there's this glorious future that awaits. It's what we saw in Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, or 2 and 3. There's this glorious future that awaits the people of God, and it's an inheritance that comes because we've been born as God's children. But then he goes on, that we're protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So when the hardships of the world and the sufferings of this age and even this time of tribulation that's coming upon the world comes, like God tells Daniel that there's a purpose behind it. And it's to purify our faith, which is more precious than gold, which is perishable, so that we can receive praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that when he returns, his glory will be bestowed upon us. It's unbelievable what the promises of the gospel are, but we should embrace like God's intention for our suffering. Then in verse 11, it says this, and this is where it kind of gets confusing. It says, and from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. You know, of all the different mathematical things, if you've been with us in our journey of Daniel, there's been like some crazy math I've had to do. They should put that on the statewide assessments, actually, like Daniel math. I was going to make some joke, but never mind. My daughter's a math teacher, so I can't like burn down math stuff. So, you know, of all of the different numerical things and mathematical things that I've studied, I think this 1290 and the 1335 is the easiest to teach, because as you look at those, and as I've looked at what everybody says, like I mentioned in the book of Revelation, it refers to 1,260 days. So this has an extra 30-day period to go to 1,290 days. And then it has 45 more days to get you to 1,335 days. And what I realized as I've kind of studied that all through is that nobody knows for sure. There's a lot of people who will make like speculations, but there's nothing I don't think that I can find. There's absolutely nothing that gives us like clarity on exactly what those things are referring to. I could be wrong, but I'm not just going to sit here and speculate myself, because I don't think we need to. And it was two reasons. One, I think maybe these things aren't for us, at least not today. You know, maybe it'll make sense sometime in the future for God's people that encounter these days that are here when Jesus returns. But as of right now, nothing I could find actually brought any sort of clarity. It just brought speculation. But the second thing is we don't need to know exactly what they refer to understand what the text is talking about. Because look what it says. And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, and we know from Daniel chapter 7 and from Matthew chapter 24, is that what kicks off this time of tribulation upon the people of God? From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation was set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps from waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way. So there's three different kind of movements there. The first is there's this time of suffering that somehow extends like 1,290 days. And again, the time is limited. But the important thing is that how blessed is he who attains to the 1,335 days. The important thing here is 1,335 is bigger than 1,290. Which means that blessing is on the other side of suffering. This is a call to perseverance. Because then he says, but as for you, Daniel. It's interesting. He doesn't say, so, Daniel. He says, but. Like, you don't even need to worry about it, Daniel. What you do need to worry about, go your way to the end. Go your way to the end. What does he tell him? And then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. The important thing to grasp from this, and that even Daniel could grasp, is it doesn't matter exactly how all those days play out. What matters is that there is blessing on the other side of suffering. So go your way to the end. Like, be faithful to the Lord and persevere in the sufferings, because there's blessing on the other side, blessing that we can't even conceive. What did it say back in Revelation 7? Daniel chapter 7, it said that the kingdoms, where is it here? It says, but the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion, the one that's causing this like horrific time, will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed. I love the like tripling down on like his destruction. Then the sovereignty and the dominion and greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion will be one. Oh, and all the dominions will serve him. So what the angel's telling Daniel is that, Daniel, amidst with all your questions and all your uncertainties and all the things we don't know, what we do know is that there's blessing in persevering with the Lord. So go your way to the end, no matter how many days it takes. If it's 1,290, if it's 1,335, whatever, just keep running until the tape, is what the angel's telling him. You don't need to know. You know, I think we can get it caught into like all these questions too, like, oh, how long will it be? What will be the outcome? You know, and the angel's answer, Daniel, is, it doesn't matter, Daniel. What matters is what you do. And you're to go your way to the end. You're to persevere to the end. And then there's this, I love this imagery, and you'll enter into your rest, and you will rise again to your allotted portion at the end of the age. You know, my brother, I always get choked up when I talk about this, so sorry, I'll be lame and get choked up, maybe. But my brother died on the 4th of July, and I think it's the greatest day in the world to die. Because it's Independence Day, right? And you think about like the struggles we face, think about the victimizations that happens to us in this world, you think about the sufferings and the, I don't know, tribulations and the doubts and the anxieties and the, go your way to the end. And you'll enter into rest. It's like you'll finally lay down on the sofa. You'll turn on the game. You'll close your eyes, right? Or the hunting channel or something, whatever. You'll lay down on the couch, you know, and then you'll doze off and you'll wake up to your allotted portion. You know, that allotted portion is this idea of like when they were just, it's alluding back to the distribution of the land. Like, you'll finally be home. You'll finally have entered in. Go your way to the end. Because there'll be this day when we're Independence Day, when we'll finally all be over and we'll enter in, we'll finally be home. You know, it's all through the pages of scriptures and Book of Revelation, I have it up on the screen, Revelation 1 verse 9, says this. He says, I, John, your your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus was an island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So I want to just see what he's saying there. He's your fellow partaker. Like he's part of this fellowship of the brethren that experience Christ in multiple ways. And look what he says. The first is, in this world, he experiences what? He's a partaker of the tribulation. He's suffering in this world that's opposed to God. In fact, he's in prison on the island of Patmos. He's part of the tribulation in this life, but he's also a partaker in the kingdom. Like there is this glorious future that awaits him, and he's a partaker in the perseverance that's in Jesus. All three of those things are part of our experience of what it means to be followers of Christ, is tribulation and perseverance and one day the kingdom. You know, and then he begins talking, and well, then he has this glorious vision about Jesus that like looks a lot like the guy that stands above the river. And then it depicts Jesus walking among the lampstands. And multiple times Jesus says to the churches, be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life, or I will let you eat of the eternal manna. And to every church that he talks to, he says, to he who overcomes, I will. And then he gives some lavish blessing of the kingdom that he's going to grant them. So there's this message to the churches. Man, church, we are all part of this, the tribulation and the suffering and the perseverance that are in Jesus. And Jesus' call to us is go our way to the end. Because on the other side of it, there's life. Jesus said it this way when he was teaching his disciples in Matthew 10. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. You know, part of the gospel message is that we embrace the sufferings of Christ, that we know that if they treated Christ one way, they'll likely treat us that way if we're still walking with him. We all acknowledge those truths until we experience them, and then we like get frustrated. But the message over and over and over again in the pages of the scripture is go your way to the end. And if God sees it that you enter into your rest, you will arise to your allotted portion at the end of the age. And all the glories of all the kingdoms of all the earth will be granted to the saints of the highest one. Like we'll be able to enjoy everything that God has for us, everything that we lost in Eden. You know, so as we talk about this, like, it's one thing to say it, but it's another question to, like, how do we persevere to the end? Like, what do we need to do to not falter? And this is where I was planning on saying what I said earlier, that, like, you know, I so often falter in my perspective and in my attitudes, and how do we stand? So, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I didn't know of any better place to go. There's all these exhortations to do it, but I've got the verse up here, and I didn't put the text up here because I want you to open your own Bibles to it so that you're just familiar with where it's at. So I think it's such a great text. And this is what it says here in Romans 5. I'll wait till the page rustling dies down. I've said this before, but whoever makes Bible apps should have that sound effect. So, as you're flipping through pages, it makes that rustling noise. Yeah. For the what?
For electric vehicles, they have to add a sound.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know. So I want Oregon to be warmer, man. I'm burning fossil fuels any chance I get. So... That was a joke for all you environmentalists out there. So, Romans chapter 5, before I get in any more trouble, you can email complaints to Aaron Reed at Creekside. This is what Paul says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. There's so much there. What Paul is saying is that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we've been introduced to this grace, and this grace we stand in. It's like we're in the safe house of God's grace, and so nothing can touch us. Like we stand in the grace of God, so we're able to exult in the hope of glory. Like we know, like we're kept, we're saved, and we're kept, and we're sanctified all by God's grace, and this glorious future awaits. Then he says this, and not only this, but we exult in our tribulations. Well, you do, Paul. We exult in our tribulations. Like we exult in this hope, and we exult even in the hardships. Like this exult is like to praise and boast about them, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. So the first thing Paul says is like, man, we need to stand in our faith because it's faith that moves us to into the like safe house of God's grace. And that's, and Peter said that, like we're saved by faith and we're protected by the power of God through faith, and over and over and over, like don't give up on the truth of the gospel and like Jesus Christ has accomplished for you in his son. That's one way we're gonna stand, is to always cling to that. Second thing is to trust God in this process that we're in, and exult in the tribulations, knowing that God works them to bring about perseverance so that we don't always falter, so we can run a little bit harder and a little bit faster and a little bit farther. And the perseverance is proven character. It's like what Daniel says, that you're purified and refined, and that results in greater hope. Like it's a cyclical thing. As we experience the sufferings of this age, it causes us to release our hold on them and to grasp for the things that really matter. And I think the third thing that's gonna anchor us in this is just not to doubt the love of God. Because look what it says in verse 5. And our hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you see what it described us as? Helpless and ungodly. And at the right time, like Christ poured out his love within our hearts, and he gave us his Holy Spirit that secures us for that day, so our hope will not disappoint. So the best I could come up with, like challenge my own heart on this, is those three things. Man, hold to the truth of the gospel and don't doubt it. Trust the Lord who's using all of those things to make me more like himself and to cause me to cling to his hope greater and greater. And then be confident in his love for us, and that nothing comes to us that falls outside of that, as difficult as it may seem. It's trust in his love. You know, as the band comes up, let me just close with one more scripture that talks about this, talks about the need to like just keep clinging to Jesus by faith in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. It says this, but remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. He's talking to the church and he's like, remember when you got saved and it got really, really hard after coming to faith in Christ? Which if anybody ever tells you like coming to faith in Jesus makes life better, read Hebrews, right? Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. It's interesting. This church loved the Lord and loved each other so much that they, look what they did. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. And because they were willing to serve those who were suffering, they suffered themselves because they knew. Therefore, verse 35, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, which if you go back to in chapter 10, he's talking about like we can have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Like, don't throw away your confidence in the work of Christ, because in our faith there is great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, there it is again, like the sufferings are short. He who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Like this, the response of the work of God in our lives is to grant us this faith, so that we have this growing faith, this growing hope, this ever refined hope, and this confidence, so that we persevere to the end. So as we finish the book of Daniel, I know there's like lots of questions that remained unanswered. There is for us, there was for Daniel. The answer is the same. Go your way to the end, and you will enter into rest, and you will arise again to your allotted portion at the end of the age. Let's sing, and then I'll close us in prayer.